We should explain why we're doing this one, because I spoke to someone last night and they started listening to Chatterbix, and they said to me, where should I start listening to Chatterbix? Because I opened an episode up and listened to it. I didn't have a clue what was going on. God. And I was like, oh.
No.
I didn't really have an answer.
Oh.
Where would you start?
We can't recap every episode.
I know, but they didn't have a clue.
We'll start at the start.
Well, let's explain what's going on here, though, and why we're doing this, because people might not know.
Go on, then.
New mic, or was it just a different angle?
What's that?
Is it a new mic, or you just got it at a different
angle?
Oh, okay. It just looks really weird.
I'm brushing my teeth.
It does. black corner on the cob. Right, let's get on with this. Basically,
we went to number one in the charts. Don't know if you knew that.
We haven't banged on about it.
But we didn't just go to number one in the comedy charts. We went to number one in all categories.
All categories. Big boy stuff.
Yeah. So we were at number one. And then Alistair Campbell's podcast, or Alistair Campbell, tweeted that, after 7 weeks at number one in all categories, we've been knocked off the top spot by basically, what the fuck is Chatterbix?
Yeah, he said FTF Chatterbix.
FTF?
What the fuck is Chatterbix?
FTF.
That's right. No, WTF, sorry.
So he could have just said, congrats, lads, I'm back on top spot. But he said, what the fuck is Chatterbix?
Valid point, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because I don't quite know what it is.
No, but give us a break, mate.
So we challenged him to come on. No, I didn't really. He just got Lizzie at Acast to email him. I was gonna build it up like some kind of beef.
But what it's got to be a beef.
Oh, yeah, but it is.
We're going to run rings around you, Alistair.
We're really not. I've been listening to his podcast. There's absolutely no way we're going to ruin. I'm fucking intimidated by this guy. He's got a fucking brain on him.
I know.
Shit. Right.
Also, go on.
I was just saying, I listened to some of his podcasts, and fuck me, I'd Google every 2 or 3 minutes.
All right. Well, I'm not, you know, fair play to him. He's got a brain on him. But this
but
is.
What?
What am I trying to say?
What are you trying to say? Yeah, he's got a big old brain on him. But what? What are you going to come back with?
I generally want to know. I hope this doesn't sound like, but I genuinely want to know what it's like to have a brain on you.
I know, big clever clogs. What's it like to be a clever clogs? Absolutely.
It must be fantastic. Or does life just get that little bit more complex and confusing?
Also, are you comfortable asking Alistair Campbell what it's like to be clever?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right.
Also, the stress of his job. Back in the day.
What was his job back in the day?
He was a secretary, wasn't he, for a spokesman for Blair, wasn't he?
Yeah, something like that.
Wrote his speeches and...
Yeah, I read what
he was basically the deputy prime minister.
I read what he did for a living, still didn't quite understand it.
Well, we can ask him what he did for a living. He worked for the Today paper, I think. Do you remember the Today paper?
Oh, yeah, it folded, didn't it?
Fantastic little paper.
Was it? What was it? What made it stand out?
I just like the font.
Didn't they have a pale blue banner?
Yeah. I think so. Fucking hell, thick as pigswill.
We really are setting this up. This is David and Goliath, this isn't it? Two little Davids.
I tell you what, I couldn't give a fuck. I couldn't, no, as it, no, I don't mean it like that. No, I could get, what am I trying to say?
What am I backpedaling on?
What's it like to read a book and remember what you've just read? What's that like?
Oh, God. I fear I'm going to go very quiet in this when you ask these questions.
Hang on.
I'm going to try to orchestrate else? It so I'm on. He feels like I'm on his side.
Yeah, I know you will. I know you will. I want to know about this, just the stress of, because I find it stressful, just, you know,
being a gardener.
Responsibility that we've got, which is what?
What is our responsibility?
I don't know, just getting the podcast out all the time.
Jesus wept. It's just a clash of the worlds, isn't it?
Yeah.
I hope he's nice. He seems nice on it. His tweet or whatever it was made me laugh, though. So I thought, well, he's got to have a bit of a sense of humour because he's...
Unless he meant it and he was thoroughly disgusted.
Oh, God. How do we... What do we ask when he comes on? Because he's coming on sort of unaware.
What's your problem, first of all? Sunny Jim.
Shithead.
I imagine Alistair uses Sunny Jim, or has done.
They don't swear a lot on their podcast. When he does swear, it stands out like a sore thumb. It's the opposite of ours.
He's thoroughly character. Do you know what? My wife is drawn in by the Campbell.
Her and
she found out, she bloody loves his podcast.
Ooh. Does she?
She's part of the problem. Oh, my God. She's... She would pick his podcast over ours. Definitely.
Fucking hell, really?
Yeah. Right, easily.
Okay. So what, all right, why is there, I listened to it, it's good, but why is it number one?
Well, that's what we want to know. Write these down, these questions. Okay. Why are you number one?
Yeah.
What's it like to have a brain the size of Europe?
Right, hold on.
You look down on us?
What's it like being clever?
Genuinely, what's it like? Do you walk around with your feathers puffed out? I would.
Why are you number one?
Hold on a minute. Oh, no. Oh, no, it's working.
Number one, do you walk about?
I want to know about the responsibility of a high-powered job. High pressure, high power.
What's it like to be in a high...
And I don't know, do you like us?
What do you think of our pod? You know what I think when I think about someone like him, is what's it like, he has to keep on top of everything that's going on in the world.
Oh, turn it in. Who cares?
Thankfully, people like him.
I'd rather be like Winnie the Pooh. I really would.
What, the old head in the sand? Head in the honey jar or whatever.
I really would.
Licking out the inside of a big honey jar while the world goes on.
It must be exhausting. Unless, you know, he's obviously got a passion and enthusiasm for it.
Well, clearly,
like you have for Only Fools and Horses. So you don't go, oh, go watch another episode of that. You just dive in.
I revel in it. Here comes Mr. Campbell. I've already receded to childlike. Hello?
Alistair Campbell.
Hello, Alistair Campbell.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you. Can you hear us?
I can hear you both.
What's your problem with our pod?
Well, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with it at the moment.
Well, we're coming for you. I've never been this confrontational, but we're coming for you, mate.
Slip down the shot again. That's good.
Yeah, I know. It's awful. What have you done?
How did you feel, Alistair, welcome, by the way.
Yeah, welcome. Hello. Nice to meet you. Sorry. Went in a bit hard there. Sorry.
How did I feel? Well, first of all, I didn't see it coming because I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what you were doing. I didn't know why I was there. And then we've been like number one for weeks on end.
Yeah.
And then suddenly this thing, when I first saw it, I literally, because I didn't have my glasses on, I thought it said Weetabix.
Yeah, well, thought,
kind of where we've come from organically. Yeah.
Yeah.
So listen, I just recognize you guys now.
Oh right.
Oh God, really? What from?
So you're the postman. You're the postman.
Oh yeah, from Afterlife, yes.
Yeah, and your mate is the sort of weirdo guy who keeps sort of wandering in and not really know what he's doing.
That's what it is.
It's the most concise description of David's life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I loved Afterlife. I actually place where you used to drop the letters off. We walk the dog there nearly every day, and I bump into Ricky Gervais and his missus all the time.
Oh, really? I do.
That's because he always films within half a mile of his house.
Yeah, he's the laziest. It's
brilliant.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that the town or the village where the thing's meant to be set, I know exactly where that shot is taken from on the heath. I know the exact spot.
Yeah, yeah. It will be 5 minutes from his front.
Yeah, you can see. He walks home after he goes, right, cheers, everyone. He's 6 minutes. He's in his house with a glass.
He barely gets out of his pyjamas.
You know the guy... I do see him a lot on there because we walk the dog every morning and I see him a lot. And it's quite interesting because he obviously loves animals, but he and his missus don't have a dog.
No.
They've got a cat.
They've got a cat, but you can't really take a cat for a walk. It's not the same.
No.
I think it's because he says, because he's away a lot and he thinks it'll be cruel to the dog.
I don't think he can handle the death of the pet.
Or the responsibility. Yeah. Or anything.
Well, the thing I got from Afterlife is that he's clearly quite keen on the theme of grief, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Well, he spent 6 years writing about it.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
That was great.
Oh, I loved it.
How much is that? How much is that lived?
Quite a lot. He has a structure of it, and then he lets us piss about a bit, doesn't he?
Yeah, we got a lot of space to play around.
Yeah. I've got to say as well, the other reason why me and Fiona loved it is that we met and we started out on a local paper in Devon called the Tavistock Times.
I live in Devon.
Oh, well, we started on the Tavistock Times. That's where we met in Plymouth, and we started on the Tavistock Times together.
Oh.
And honestly, the local paper element of the whole thing is just so funny. Because that stuff happens.
Yeah. Well, we got interviewed, didn't we, Joe, by the Devon Times?
Oh, that was amazing. It was we had to do a lot of the heavy lifting on that interview, if I remember rightly.
Yeah.
There was a lot of staring like this.
Yeah,
I felt that like the journalist fell in love with you, Joe. I thought there was a little twinkle.
He's only human.
Yeah,
Alistair, I really want to ask a question.
Go on.
Go on. This is a genuine question.
We've talked about it for 9 minutes.
What's it like to be clever?
Oh, what a great question. Oh, I love
that.
Does
it make life more complex and confusing? Because I'm jealous of your brain.
Yeah.
But I quite like being Winnie the Pooh.
No, but I think you're clever, you see. I think you're both clever. I think actors have got to be clever. I think you've got to have something very special in your brain.
Nah.
I do.
Trust me.
No, I do. I'll tell you what, Ricky is incredibly clever.
Yeah.
He's unbelievable.
He's bright.
It's funny, you see, I don't feel that clever. I know I've got a... The chart topping podcast, The Rest Is Politics, I do with
let's just stick to the question.
Yeah, well, no, because we did it, Rory and I, because it's the chart topping number one podcast, we did an interview. We were at the Evening Standard asked to do an interview with us together the other day, and they asked us what quality we most liked and respected in the other person, right? And I said about Rory that I love the vastness of his curiosity. He just loves to know more stuff about everything. So he reads obsessively, and he knows a lot of stuff. And he said about me that what he'd really learned from me and what he really liked was the absolute clarity of my thinking about everything. And I guess that I think that is because I do like working. I like working. I like reading. I like drilling down on problems. But I know what you mean. I mean, I do wake up at the moment, I wake up in the every morning in a complete rage about the state of the country and the state of the world. And I do sometimes think it'd be so much easier if I just didn't care.
Well, that's what you were saying, wasn't it, Joe?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Because You must spend the whole time just scanning everything, because I listened to your podcast. Annoyingly, it's very good. I was hoping it was Emperor's New Clothes, but I thought you were winging it. But turns out, to be honest with you, the other chap's pretty decent as well, isn't he, Rory?
Yeah.
But yeah, just the sort of the constant sort of, because I started from the beginning, and you were talking about the Ukrainian war and how much that was weighing on you and stuff. And I was like, God almighty, I've just got this ability to put the telly on and switch everything off.
Yeah.
Maybe I've only fools and horses on and I'm away.
I can do that mainly with sport and music, actually. I do find if I'm watching the telly, unless it's something really gripping that I really want to watch, like what we're watching. I did love, honestly, no bullshit, I loved Afterlife. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. What we're watching recently, we're in the middle of watching Sherwood at the moment. I can get totally...
Oh, yeah, I started that. Yeah, it's good.
I can get totally locked into that, but at the same time, it's making me think about politics all the time because it's very political. Mm. The only time I really get out of ruminating about the sort of serious stuff is when I'm at sport, particularly football, Burnley, and also music. I listen to a lot of music. I don't actually read the papers or watch the news much.
Right.
You're a Burnley fan, do you say?
Yeah, big, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We've got another podcast you can come on if you like.
Which is, what is that? What is that?
We've got one, David started supporting Exeter because he's moved down to...
You can't start supporting a football team. That's like...
That's what the podcast is about.
Don't you come on here.
We cover all bases here, Campbell. Don't worry about that.
I think I'll start having a fourth wife at the same time, Campbell.
Wow. They've welcomed me into their bosom. So it turns out you can.
The Grecians.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, because David's been a Man U fan his whole life, but never really been sort of involved in...
Right.
Going to the games and stuff. So he's doing it all for the first time as an adult.
Right.
Like you were like nine or something.
Love it.
Yeah.
So Alistair, I've got to ask you. Now, I've really got to get these questions in.
Go on then. Did I answer the clever question all right? Was that all right?
Sort of. I mean, I think I'd walk around with my chest puffed out if I knew I was clever just give it the big one.
You've got to be very careful to avoid sort of tripping over into people thinking you're just an arrogant twat.
Yeah,
that would happen.
I can occasionally really show off though. I went to the first night of the ABBA Avatar thing.
We got a story, and I
showed off by telling people that when I was at university doing languages, my party piece, I used to be able to sing ABBA lyrics in three languages at once. And so I did that.
Well, I could swallow Satsuma whole.
Can you?
Yeah.
There was that can kill you though.
Yeah, I know, every time it nearly kills me. I haven't got three languages to fall back.
Right.
We have a TV reviewer on this podcast every Friday.
Yeah.
He is the bass player in that ABBA show.
On stage?
Yeah.
A guy in a white suit?
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, honestly, it's brilliant. I love it. The night we went, we were sitting, the real ABBA were there, and I'd actually met Bjorn, because did you know Bjorn's got a podcast?
Is he?
And Bjorn's podcast is interviews with ABBA fans, and he wanted to interview me about my ABBA fandom. I'd met Bjorn, and then we were sitting near the real ABBA, King of Sweden to our left, but most excitingly, in front of us were the four young dancers who did all the moves that were then being played through the avatars.
Oh, right.
And they were crying, and they were just so happy. The band, by the way, tell your mate, the band is absolutely brilliant. They're the bit that make you feel you're at a live concert.
Wow. Oh, wow. Well, we keep saying to him, he must be tremendous at the bass.
Yeah, he plays it.
He won't have it. Yeah,
he does play it down, but yeah.
It's one of the best things. The only thing I'd say is it's the once you got into it, and I felt, right, I really am like a live ABBA concert now, which of course I'd never been to when I was younger. But the one sort of, this is where the clever bit came in, Dave. I started to worry about it. I started to think, I bet you Donald Trump has got somebody at the moment who's working up avatars of, you know, his opponents, who will suddenly get fake footage of them, you know, doing stuff they shouldn't be doing, all that. I think it could take you into a pretty dark technological place.
We started to do it, haven't they? People have started to like mimic like actors and stuff.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Did you say you had that thought whilst watching the ABBA show?
I did, yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
See, yeah, we got to get you to switch off.
Yeah.
Just be stuffing more teasers into your face and having a lovely time.
I didn't have any... I did have... What did I have to eat? The food was good at the launch. Very sort of Swedish, very kind of sort of lots of little
meatballs.
Fish nibbles and little sort of biscuit things, and
yeah.
But and the real dancing queen was there as well.
Who is the real dancing queen?
She's the queen. She's the queen of Sweden. Because that's
written about.
That song was about her dancing on her wedding night.
Oh right.
Yeah.
Do you want to do a pub quiz with us? Because I think we could be quids. We bring nothing.
Right, tell me your Exeter City story then. You're going to tell me.
No, this is a question for you.
Okay.
What's it like to have a high pressured, high powered job? Because I just the thought of having to upload the podcast at the right time keep me up at night.
Yeah, we are. So don't we?
Did you sleep throughout the 90s? And
well, the first thing I'd say to you is that I don't know how to upload a podcast, so you're already cleverer than me.
Oh, yeah,
literally don't know how to do that. I wouldn't know.
You'd learn it in 9 seconds.
I don't know if I would, because I'm technically very, 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 very bad. Really am bad.
Right.
But did I sleep? I slept all right. I still have about 6 or 7 quite insomniac nights. But I think I'd have that whatever. I don't think it was to do with the pressure. I think the thing about, I always say pressure's good, stress is bad. So pressure I like. You know, when you guys are acting, you're under pressure. You feel you've got to perform. And the pressure's good to make you perform. But stress is when you start to feel, you know, that thing when you start losing things and your credit card goes walkabout and you can't remember where you put stuff. And that's when I know I've just got too much going on. I've got a lot better as I've got older at sort of just sitting down and saying, right, okay, why is this happening? And trying to, you know, but it was pretty. The other thing I'd say is, I remember once I got a chest infection. I went to see my doctor, my GP, and he said, listen, this has got nothing to do with your chest. This is all about stress. I said, what are you talking about? I'm fine. Things are quite quiet at the moment. And this was when I was at Downing Street. And he said, you operate under stress levels 24 hours a day that most people couldn't cope with for a day. So you're
feeling. That's what I mean.
Yeah. But you do get used to it. You find out if you can do it. And once you can do it, it gets very normal.
So when you said you were on alert, had you sort of crashed from like the pressure from what I'd ever been doing before? Because you said you weren't particularly under any more stress than normal at that point.
No, it probably was a genuine chest infection, but he would say it was stress related. But I always crash, for example, I always used to crash when I went on holiday. Because it's the decompression of you. So, and the other thing that you find is you go on a holiday, you're sort of desperate to sort of be a normal parent and be a normal partner and all that thing, but your head's just not there. Nice. And it always takes a few days then I'd have a crash. And it was, if you read my diaries, I'm depressed most holidays. And I always feel bad because, you know, Fiona and the kids think it must be about them, but it's not. It's just that I'm decompressing and I can't quite get my head in the right space.
Yeah. When were you sleeping? When would you go to bed when you were in the...
Quite early if I could. I mean, regularly before 10, if I could. But regularly, I wouldn't be finishing work till about midnight or something. So it would totally depend on the circumstances. But I'd try and sleep. I wasn't a great napper, but I didn't mind the odd nap. If I suddenly felt tired, I'd have 20 minutes.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't terrible. I used to get up no later than 6. I'll tell you the other thing I did, particularly latterly, I started to get into running and I ran to work and I found that really helpful.
Joe's just run the marathon, haven't you, Joe?
Have you?
Yeah.
What time did you do?
Around 4.5 hours.
Oh, rubbish. I beat you. I did 3:53.
Yeah. Did you? Yeah. Shit. And 5 of my toenails came off.
3:53.01. How old were you? How old were you when you did it?
47.
Right. Well, I was 49 and I beat you.
This is why you're top, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. I've got a condition called maladaptive competitiveness. Yeah, it's a real thing.
Go on.
Well, it just means that. You know,
like kicking people when they're fifth in the charts, basically.
Yeah, Yeah, no, it's like when you, I'll tell you, I've got my phone here. When I checked on the charts that morning, you were at number one, I did send a message to the producer of the podcast. Who the fuck are they? What the fuck is going on? And he sent me, and thankfully we had Tony Blair on as our first special guest.
That gave us
a few thousand extra straight away, and you were only there for about 10 minutes.
we were going to get him on, but we cancelled him because you've done him.
So do you do this every day?
When we're in the thick of it, yeah, basically, yeah,
every day.
So even
though we're only doing two a week, we're still ahead of you. That's amazing. Isn't it? That must make you feel really shit.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I mean, most of our episodes is us moaning about where we are in the chart.
Yeah. What's it like having a point to your podcast as well? Because genuinely, most times I come off our pod and go, "What is the point of this?"
Well, we had a question. We had a question last week on that. Somebody said, "You know, I enjoy listening to you. What is the point of it?"
I heard you. Yeah, you didn't really answer it. Well, no, you did actually. You said,
"I said I saw it as part of trying to change the way that politics is debated and stuff." But there's no bigger point than that. It's not going to change the world. Your point. Shall I tell you what I think the point of yours is?
I'd love to know.
It's a combination of entertainment for others and therapy for yourself. Yeah?
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail.
Yeah, I think it's 80% therapy, though.
Yeah, that's good.
That's exactly what it is.
Have you listened to any of it then?
Yeah.
Of course he hasn't.
I did. I wanted to find out. I mean, only the first 10 minutes.
I can't imagine your face, what your face looked like when you were listening to us.
Why?
Like that, probably.
No.
Just utter baffle. Because it's such garbage.
It's not. We've interviewed Steve Davis. We had a crack.
Yeah, have you interviewed Steve Davis? No.
No, but no, people do say I look a bit like him, though.
Right.
Oh, that's a compliment.
I tell you who we interviewed, you'll like a guy called Mark Roberts, who's the greatest streaker in the world.
Oh, right. He streaked at
the Super Bowl.
Crufts
twice.
Wow.
World Cup. Kelsey Flowers.
what did he get out of it?
A very, very good question. I think, well, he was a professional streaker for a while.
Well, he got paid.
He got paid.
By
he got paid to write like Coral's betting shop across his arse.
Okay.
Amazing story though, when he tried to get to the...
I think they're going to try and make a film of his life, aren't they? Someone's writing it now.
Do you remember the first woman, the woman that really made streaking famous?
Yeah, Erica.
Erica, yeah, Twickenham.
Yeah.
And yeah, she was made famous, I think, by the policeman who tried to cover up with his helmet. That was
helmet over the yes.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah. imagine doing it at Crufts. Apparently he got manhandled, didn't he, by security.
Yeah, but he could argue that, you know, that it's a dog show, the dogs are bollock naked. Why can't he be? You know?
Oh yeah. Wouldn't get him far, but
nobody minds looking at the dog's bollocks, do they?
No.
Is it why we pass your number on to him?
and what about that? The other guy you should get on, is that other guy who walks up and down the country naked the whole time.
I've watched that documentary.
And then he gets out again.
The Naked Rambler.
That's right,
Yeah.
So why are you guys not acting? Do you write stuff as well as act?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And do you always work together? Do you always work together?
We have done for about 10 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you like each other?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we get. Yeah, we yeah, read it. Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'll tell you
something. He's a super guy.
We are super guys. This is weird. We can't be in the same room while we do.
No.
We find it too embarrassing. Are you in the same room with Rory?
Very rarely. We've been in the same room once. I actually find it's helpful because we don't interrupt each other as much as I think we would if we're in the same room. And the thing I've noticed about podcasts is people really don't like it if you're talking at the same time. It's a bit different with you guys because you're being funny and you're making people laugh and stuff. But I think when you're having a kind of intense debate, the only time we've had really complaints is when I lost it with him over Northern Ireland. I thought he said something really, really stupid and I really went for him and we started shouting at each other a bit.
Oh,
yeah,
did you?
Yeah.
People what episode is that? I'm going to go straight.
Did it genuinely get a bit spiky?
Yeah, he did. He told me to shut up. I told him he was talking absolute crap. And he was quite taken aback by the end. He said, he actually said on air that he found he checked his pulse because it was just racing to so fast. So we, you know, because with the whole thing when we started, we said it was going to be about agreeing, disagreeing agreeably, but it became a bit disagreeable. But I get so, you talk about, you know, the one thing, I mean, I hate this government so much. I know you shouldn't say hate, but I really despise them. But the one thing that's right at the top of the tree for me is the sort of vandalism that they're, that with which they're approaching the Good Friday Agreement in Northern Ireland. So that was why he said something a bit kind of, I thought a bit glib, and I just fucking lost it.
Yeah. Have you ever debated with anyone, Alistair, where you thought, I'm out more depth here?
No, I've debated. No. No, I've debated with people where I've thought, I'm going to let them do the lifting here because they know a lot more about this than I do.
Right.
I'm very good on political stuff, and you know, and I'm very good at working out a political position of what I want to say about something. But sometimes if it's somebody who really, really understands how a global economy works and can really explain it, I'd rather listen to them than pretend that I know what I'm talking about, you know.
Yeah. Yeah,
what about the other way, if someone's a dimwit?
Oh, that's just, I mean, I once did a debate on ITV with Nadine Dorries, and I ended up banging my head. This is before she was a minister. I literally ended up banging my head on the table. And I did one on Irish radio recently with Andrew Bridgen, another Tory MP. And we were talking about, I can't remember what it's about. And while I didn't realise that, like, we're on camera now, I thought it was just radio. And I was literally banging my head against the wall. So, yeah, that's not good. I think politics is pretty difficult. I'm doing this TV program at the moment called Make Me Prime Minister, where we've got ordinary members, quotes, ordinary, I hate that phrase, but you know what I mean, members of the public who think they could be Prime Minister. And we're
what channel's that on?
It's not on yet. It's going to be out later this year on Channel 4.
Right.
And we are, Saeeda Warsi, she was in David Cameron's cabinet. She's Tory, me Labour. We're out putting these people through their paces. And what's really interesting is seeing them understand how it's a lot harder than it looks.
Oh, of course.
But there are so many people in politics who think they're really, really, really good. And they're just not. They're just not very good at it.
So how did they get to their position? How have they worked their way?
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I look at you know, a good two-thirds of the current cabinet, and I think, I just can't see how any of you have got there. How's Johnson become Prime Minister? The guy just can't do the job. And I think they've got their... I do think our system is starting to fail. I think the political system is creaking and it's got to be reformed. I think our media is a big part of the problem. I think that, you know, they... You look at the way that, I mean, most of these cabinet ministers at the moment, if they were being treated by the media like we got treated when we were in power, they'd be getting shredded 24 hours a day. They're just hopeless. It's almost like they've normalised incompetence. Like, you know, I talk to journalists and say, it's such a nightmare interviewing these people because you have to pretend to take them seriously. I said, well, why are you taking, just call them out.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's awful.
This is one of those moments where I'm letting you talk, Alistair, because I wish I could come back with something that was enlightening. Yeah.
Go on, you can.
No, I can't. It's really annoying.
Why don't you go into Google Translate and start speaking to me in German or something? That'd be good.
But you're learning German, aren't you?
No, I'm relearning it. I did it at university, but then I lost a lot of it.
I just got back from Munich.
It's great, isn't it? I love Germany.
Oh, yeah. It's really lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're really lovely people.
They are nice.
That's one guy who slagged me off.
Although a lot of Germans outside Bavaria don't like the Bavarians that much. It's a bit like, you know, they see them. I guess it's a little bit like the rest of the country maybe sees people in London. I don't know.
Yeah.
A little bit.
We had a film playing and we had to go for a Q&A at the end. And as the credits were going down, this guy got up. I can't do a German accent. Mm. Well, I'll have a little go.
Go on.
He just went,
he's Japanese, was he?
Yeah. I was like, what? And he just laid into me. And I asked the lady I was with, does he know he's being rude? Or does he feel like he has the right to say that to me?
Was he just putting out there this possibility? Was he mentally ill?
Well, in some... I mean, no, he wasn't. But right. I mean, socially odd to was, say did that
he,
to
he
someone.
Just, he just didn't like you. What was he saying to you, though? Do you know?
he said my English slang that he didn't want to watch it in the film. I don't know what he was talking about, but he didn't like the way I was talking.
Right.
Your film's pretty unoffensive as well.
What's it? What's the film about then? And why the is it got a German angle, or is it just that your afterlife has made you two so sort of global stars? Is that what's going on?
No, it's about a guy who builds a robot. A lonely guy who builds a robot.
He goes around killing Germans.
He goes around killing old Germans.
Really,
he didn't
war.
Like it.
Is it like really it. About killing Germans?
No.
Oh, good. Okay. Now, listen, I've just noticed something as well, the way you guys laugh, right? You look like Bradley Wiggins.
Me,
yeah,
oh, I love that. Yeah, I'm happy with that.
You look
like
Bradley Wiggins, and you look like Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah, oh. I've heard that.
Have you? Because I've had Wiggins before.
Have you?
I've had Wiggins before.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially now.
I think now he's
got a full beard again.
Oh yeah, and he's put on a bit of weight.
He's put on a bit of weight. Yeah,
he's put on a bit of weight as well.
He's put on muscle. So he's put on muscle. I interviewed him for Men's Health recently, and I saw him. Changing his shirt. He's still ripped, but he's just bigger.
Oh, that's why then.
Yeah,
he's the Tour de France winner, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I've just started getting into that, learning that.
I love the Tour de France.
I had no reason. I had no idea there were so many sort of races within the race.
Oh, it's the Tour de France. We quite often go down for it.
Do you?
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
They still do a bit over here.
They do sometimes. They've done. They've been here. They always have a. They tend to start it outside France, and they sometimes have stages outside France. So that is, and then that led to the Tour of Yorkshire. And cycling is massive now; it really is.
I've just realised. I assume you're an expert on everything. I was just asking you questions about the Tour de France.
Yeah.
I was
like, I'm just learning it.
Yes, you, David. I assume at the
you play cricket, Alistair. Do you watch cricket?
I used to play cricket. Yeah, love cricket.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. I'm trying to just catch you out.
Is that your? Is it? What's your number one sport? Is it cricket?
Yeah.
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 I was the founder member.
Here we go.
Of the Jeff Boycott fan club.
Were you?
Yeah, when I was 8.
Were you? Really?
Yeah, and then they.
I can't imagine many people were up for that.
Well, nor was he, because I went up to him after England were playing India at Headingley. And I went up to him in the car park. I waited for hours. I remember Bishan Bedi was bowling for India. I remember the spin bowler. And I remember a really nice chat with Bishan Bedi and got his autograph and all that stuff. And then Boycott came out. And I told him that I was a big fan and I've started a fan club for him. And he just said, what do I want one of them for?
Wow. To a little 8-year-old.
I was probably a bit older by then. It took me a few years to set the whole thing up properly, you know, get the constitution, take minutes of the meetings. Anyway, so it didn't last very long. And then,
Are you still running it?
No, once I started to realise that
your heart's not in it anymore.
No.
I can just sense you've just drifted away from it. And
once I started to realise that his politics weren't quite as attractive as his batting, you know.
Yeah.
It didn't become.
Would have got tricky at some point, yeah.
Yeah.
I love Jimmy Anderson, though. I love Jimmy Anderson because he's a Burnley fan as well.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Oh, incredible.
These people are.
What's your sport then?
Football.
Who's your team?
Yeah. Gillingham.
Gillingham, okay.
Yeah.
Ian Wright once scored a great goal for us against Gillingham.
Did he win?
When we got promoted from the, what do you call it, second to the first. And he came on. We had Ian Wright for a while.
Yeah, I forget that. Yeah, when. Oh, God, you did. Yeah.
Yeah, and we played at Gillingham, remember? Yeah.
Sorry. Burnley in the Premier. They are, aren't they?
No, we just gone down.
They've just got relegated.
Oh, yeah, Ericsson. Ericsson,
that's Brentford. That's Burnley. Brentford. Sorry, you're proving that you're still basically a Man United fan.
I was going to be. I'll be honest with you. Burnley don't sound like a Premier.
Well, Burnley have been in the Premier League for the last 6 years.
Yeah, it's always odd though. It's always odd when you see Man City are away at Burnley, and you're like, "Oh, has League Cup come around again? Is it?"
When I was a child, the big three in the whole country were Man United, Spurs, and Burnley. So
who was playing for Burnley then?
Oh, we had some great players. Jimmy McIlroy. The period that I started to watch, Andy Lockhead, Willie Morgan, Ralph Coates. You just look at him like I'm talking German now, aren't you?
They do sound made up.
I promise they're not. I promise they're not.
God, that's amazing. So how many years ago was that? 50-odd years ago?
No, more than that. I first saw them when we were four and we were reigning league champions. I've got a picture of it over there. And I'm now 65.
So that's... Do you ever go back? Do you ever watch any games? Or do you...
I go all the time. Virtually,
oh, do you?
Yeah, virtually every game.
Bloody hell. You fit all this.
How do you do?
Yeah. Teach us your ways.
You work on the train, working on the train. You work on the train, don't you?
Yeah.
And you get to the game. You do a bit of... So that's... Football is my big release. It really is.
You're in League One now.
Yeah. No, Championship.
Championship.
Oh, we've gone up to League One. I was going to say.
Oh, we. We're at the we stage, are we?
Yeah, we are at the we stage. What position? I got invited into the Heritage Lounge.
What position are you playing in this we squad?
12th man.
12th my, man. My daughter.
12th man.
My daughter, Grace, is a comedian and she does this very.
I've met her.
Have you?
I went for breakfast with her in Edinburgh. Yeah.
Oh, are you going to Edinburgh again? She's doing Edinburgh again this year.
No, I went. This was 2018, 19. Yeah, we went for breakfast with Jen Brister. Yeah,
oh, anyway. Brilliant. Well, she does this very, very, very. She's not really into football, but she does this very funny sketch about how I always talk about we with Burnley. And it's like, you know, there's something about football fans that we think we're part of the team when actually we're really not. She punctures my balloon, but it's very funny.
I genuinely think our podcast had something to do with the promotion.
What, the fact that you got to number one for 3 minutes?
No, our football podcast.
Basically, David wrongly thinks we're part of...
No. There's this good vibe throughout the...
I'll tell you something else, right? Do you believe in the sort of the butterfly effect, you know, that... The butterfly wings move and it changes.
If you do, I do.
Yeah, okay, right. We'll all believe in that. just imagine, right? Let's imagine that Exeter City are at home to Burnley in the Cup, right? And it's 1-1 with 8 minutes to go. And the stadium announcer says, today's attendance was 7,418. Thank you for all for your support. If he said 7,817... Right, so that means that somebody who might have gone didn't go, right? Yeah. There's just the outside possibility that one of the players will react slightly differently in that moment
to hearing
that number. Therefore, the person who didn't go had possibly had an effect on the outcome of the game.
Yeah, that's why I feel like the players were buoyant throughout the season because of our weekly podcast.
Yeah. Do you know that
we're a massive butterfly?
Do you know that they're listening to your podcast?
We've had them on.
Cool. Well, listen, I think you should change the name of the podcast because Chatbix, you know, people think it's Weetabix. That's not.
No. This is called Chatterbix. Our other one is called My New Football Club.
What about back catalogue?
I'm just saying, the Massive Butterfly is a great name for a podcast.
The Massive, yeah.
Well, I would change it on your recommendation. But
do you want to start one, Alistair?
No, I think you should start
it. We can work around
you. No, you start it with us.
Can we get on your coattails because you're number one, basically?
Don't you think...
We want to be number one with you.
Are you maladaptively competitive like I am?
Yeah.
If you are, I'd like to be as well.
Okay.
Yeah, basically. We are. We really are.
Yeah, we're obsessed. I woke up to a text saying... David saying, have you seen Alistair Campbell's tweet? Within 3 seconds, I was on Twitter and I replied. And I said, let's get him on the pod. And now I think David replied, there's no effing way he'll come on this pod.
And here we are. Yeah. Not only that, I told you that I only had 20 minutes, but I've so enjoyed it. I've just sent a text message saying I'm going to be late. I don't normally do that. I don't like being late.
This is wonderful.
I must admit, I think there's a. I think we should do a politics podcast where we're the Dumbos sit alongside you. You teach us about what's going on in the world.
Okay.
Oh my God.
I mean, that's. I would say 89% of the population are Dumbos.
Yeah, I did a lot of Googling when I listened to your pod. I really did genuinely enjoy it, but I was frantically Googling.
Really?
Stuff. Yeah.
Well, like, where is Columbia?
Yeah, honestly, probably worse than that.
That's episode one.
What is a Columbia? What is a constituency?
Oh my God. Honestly, it's not. Yeah. It's probably half a rung above that, and I'm not even joking.
Seriously, so what's the most interesting thing you've learned
on your pod?
In life?
No, on the podcast. Yeah.
Oh God. Come on. Why are you doing this to me? I know I read up loads about what's going on with the abortion laws in America.
Okay.
On pod.
Yeah.
I read loads on that. I knew about it, but not to the extent you guys are talking about it. And I was horrifically shocked. And stuff like that. So what I have been doing is sort of looking at stuff after your...
Yeah, we get a lot of that. We get a lot of teachers who get in touch and say that they get their kids to listen to it in the class and then they go off and do different projects about stuff that we talk about. So it's good. I like that.
It is good.
Yeah.
And it's not too serious as well, because I was like, you muck about as well, which is quite nice. So those bits I can relax in.
I'm determined tomorrow. We're recording it tomorrow. When does this go out?
We'll put this
tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow.
All right, well, while you're putting it out tomorrow, we'll record. I'm determined to talk about the Elvis film. Have you seen it?
No, I've heard it's...
What have you heard?
It's not. It wasn't doing very well in Germany. That's what I heard.
Okay, well, listen, there's parts... I love Elvis, though, but there's parts of it that are really pretentious and they get on your nerves, but the Elvis bits and the ending... I'll give away the ending, right? It's basically, when he dies, they play over this speech that Jimmy Carter made. He was president. This Jimmy Carter made when he died, and it reminded me of this incredible documentary that I saw a few years ago called Jimmy Carter, the Rock and Roll President. Jimmy Carter's massively into music,
right?
And so I want to talk about that tomorrow, because I don't think politicians listen to enough music.
What would that be?
All of them. Why? Why? Because they think they're too busy. And they have to be sort of, you know, reading papers. And I always say they read too many papers. They spend way too much time following the news when they should actually be sort of thinking about their brain.
It feels so unhealthy to me, that does, following the news 24/7.
Yeah.
I mean...
So Jimmy Carter had an absolute, really deep understanding of music and culture and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Where was the doc? What was
I can't remember where it was on. I think it might have been Sky Arts. I can't remember. But it was called Jimmy Carter, the Rock and Roll President. And it was all these interviews with him and all these rock stars who became really good friends of his. It's really interesting.
I heard the Elvis film is possibly not connecting with anyone under sort of 45.
Well, you say that, but my daughter, she's 28 with Grace. She went with us and she loved it.
Oh, okay.
She thought, as she came out, she said, "God, I get why you're obsessed with him now."
Who's playing Elvis?
Austin.
He's a newcomer, isn't he?
Austin Butler. He's an Aussie. He's amazing. He's amazing.
I read something about, like, he lived as him for like 18 months or so. Was that nonsense?
I don't know, but he's honestly... I don't know how they've done the voice, whether it's really Elvis's voice or it's him or it's a mixture or it's technology, I don't know. But when he's doing Elvis on stage, it is incredible. It is incredible. Yeah. The old Elvis the pelvis thing. I mean, and then the other thing that's really interesting is watching the impact that Elvis had on the kind of social debate at the time. I mean, you know, you had loads of policemen at his concerts because they were worried, you know, it was all about offending morality and all this stuff.
Really?
Yeah. And the big story is about how Colonel Tom Parker wouldn't let him travel because it turns out that Colonel Tom Parker was a complete fraud. He was a Dutch guy. He didn't have any, he was basically had a false identity. He didn't have a passport. He couldn't travel. So he didn't want Elvis to travel.
Right.
So he just played this bloody hotel in Las Vegas night after night after night.
Is that what he did? Is that where
that's the story of the film? Yeah.
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 Right. I'm going to watch.
You're a Shaken Stevens dude, aren't you, Jay?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not ashamed of it.
Shaken Stevens. Wow.
Big Shaky fan. Yeah. Right. Green door on a loop in this house.
No, he was all right, but Elvis is a league of his own, isn't he? Let's be honest.
I think I've missed the boat with Elvis.
Have you?
I think so. Yeah, I feel like I like my music, but I missed the Elvis boat.
Right. I think you've got to get on it. Get on it.
He didn't write his tunes, did he?
No, not a lot. Where did he write much? He didn't write much, but no. But he's just. But he had the voice is absolutely unique.
Yeah.
And it's such a sad story. The whole thing is such a sad story.
Yeah, I'm not sure I really know where it goes. I know where it ultimately ends up.
Well, he dies age 42.
He's 42. Bloody hell! God, I'd love to be 42.
Yeah, love to be 42 on the toilet.
How old are you two then?
I'm 47.
Right.
48. I had two people say to me this weekend, "No, you've got to be in your 30s, haven't you?"
That's good.
No, I'm 40. Yeah, that's good.
Well, they thought you were in your 30s.
Yeah.
Was it on a call, on a phone call? Switched the camera on and they went, oh.
So you do this literally every day. How much preparation do you do?
None.
Well, literally. Me particularly, none.
None.
Our idea was, Alistair, I used to be a gardener.
Yeah.
So I used to cherish podcasts. And when they ran out, I used to find it so frustrating. My favourite ones ran out. So we were kind of like, let's just throw shit at the wall and put one out every day and turn it into like a little soap opera.
Mm.
So if you need that gap filling while you're working, you can stick us on.
And when you say soap opera, do you bring characters in that aren't you?
We do on a Thursday, we do.
Yeah, and we've got little guests. We have regular guests, like we've got a weatherman who basically sings shanties now.
Really. Right.
We've got a TV reviewer.
We've got a girl called Rosie who's a new stand-up, and she does gigging, Doris. She tells us how our gigging's going.
Right.
They do this thing called Canal Thursday, which I don't have the time to explain that. I understand what it is myself.
And we interview. And I think we're fantastic interviewers.
I think you're amazing. I mean, you have actually asked me questions I've never been asked before. That's always a good sign.
Oh, really?
I've never been asked before, what's it like being clever?
Oh, I'd love to be clever.
Well, that was the main thing we wanted to get out of this, because the sort of we've talked about being because we've been doing this a year, haven't we? Regularly comes up. Wonder what it's like to be clever.
But listen, Ricky's really clever, isn't he? He's a bit of a genius, isn't he?
Yeah, he's.
I'm gonna ask him though.
Yeah,
don't want him inflating his ego.
Has he got a big ego? Has he?
No.
No, he's clever.
Yeah.
He is clever. Yeah.
But I want to know what it's like to read a book and be able to remember what you've just read.
I sound more knowledgeable about books. I don't know if you've noticed on the podcast, I tend to talk about books that I've just read, whereas Rory seems to be able to talk about books that he read 10 years ago and he can remember them. We got the wrong one on. Yeah, we can have Rory next week. He might be a bit posh for you guys, I think. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. He's got
a pinky ring and everything.
Oh, is he now?
Yeah.
How did you end up?
What's a pinky ring? It's a pinky ring.
Ring on your pinky.
It's a little ring, but the posh types tend to wear them because they get handed down father to son and all that stuff.
Oh,
right. Little family crests and all that. If you see somebody with a pinky ring, it usually means that they're quite, you know.
How did you how did you end up doing the podcast with Rory then? How did that come about?
It was actually the idea of a fellow Burnley fan called Tony Pastor, who works for Gary Lineker's production company, Goalhanger. And it's so, I don't know if you've noticed, my son thinks it's hilarious. Every day the podcast comes out, my son religiously checks Gary Lineker's Twitter feed to see how long it takes before he says, another great listen today.
Because it's actually 2 minutes after it's out.
It's his company. Yeah, it's his company. So they came and said to me that they've got this really successful podcast, The Rest is History. And why don't I do one called The Rest is Politics, but do it with somebody who's not of the same views. Their original idea was me and Dominic Cummings, you know, Johnson's person.
Yeah.
And I didn't think that. I did talk to Cummings about it, but I didn't think it'd be very... I'd think we'd tire of each other very quickly. And then I did a thing on Instagram, Instagram Live, saying if I did a podcast with a Tory, who do you reckon it should be? And honestly, so many people said Rory Stewart, so I phoned him up.
Oh, right. So you got no real... You didn't know each other that well before.
No, I knew him, and you know, he knew of me. I knew of him, but I'd only ever met him and talked to him properly maybe once.
So you are you friends now?
Yeah, I'd say that it does sort of build a friend. I mean, look, we've barely seen each other. I went up to his house in Scotland. And we did one of them face to face. I've done a couple of interviews with him. you know, where we've been interviewed together. We did an event together. I'm sure, like you must be getting invited to talk to the big banks as the podcast double act.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
you must
yeah,
get
yeah,
that all the time.
Yeah.
So we did one of
Griffin, talk about our Griffin favour bags.
Yeah, we did one of those. And I'll listen. The next time I do one, I'll say, by the way, if you want something, you know, people who understand the world just as well as I do.
Yeah, get these guys. Yeah,
a couple of big hitters.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Jurgen Klopp.
Across as that intimidating.
If I said, you know, a couple of Jurgen Klopp and Bradley Wiggins lookalikes, they'd go for it.
What about Wiggins, Klopp and Davis podcast?
Yeah, that would do.
We can all learn to mimic them.
I don't think I do look like Steve Davis, but some people have said you look just like Steve Davis. I also get Nick Clegg. And the other one is Ed Stewart. Do you remember Ed Stewart, the DJ?
Yeah,
I get that
Ed
like
Stewart.
Quite a lot.
Yeah. Do you know what? When we interviewed Steve Davis, I couldn't get over how... This is a genius.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get over how down to earth and... Yeah.
Yeah.
Normal.
Sitting in front of a superstar.
Ooh. A legend, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He was great. Yeah, if you want to get stuck into Chatterbix, Alistair, start with Steve Davis.
Okay, is it good?
Oh, it's great. Yeah,
we're great.
That's your gateway into.
Okay, is that the gateway drug to just eating it all day long?
Yeah.
He said he wouldn't mind playing Dennis Taylor on acid and having it videoed.
Wow.
And then it made the national newspaper.
Would you? Yeah. Did you try and talk him down from that, or
no? We kind of encouraged.
You can't. When Davis is on one, you just cannot.
He just goes.
You just have to ride away.
He just sees that red black combination and he's gone.
Yeah, honestly, he was away 15 minutes about all the different drugs he'd want to do with Dennis Taylor.
He thought it'd be a good like YouTube series. It would.
Oh my god!
So listen, I can't really promote this tomorrow though, can I? Because it'll be coming out the day before ours. I mean, that's not good, is it?
Well, we can wait. As I say, we're happy to work around you.
So listen, will you send it to me so that I can push it out and say this is the podcast that knocked us off number one for about an hour.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. That was brilliant. Thank you. It's lovely having you on, Alistair. I told my wife you were coming on and she's a massive fan and so her eyes lit up and she forgot about Chatterbix. Really annoyed me.
Well, listen, she's part of the problem. She listens all the time.
So. All right. Well, listen, good luck. And I'll tell you what, I'll have a discussion with Rory about it, but I don't reckon he'll have you on the podcast. I'd love to have you on, but, you know, I just think he's...
Yeah, that's Rory in a nutshell.
Yeah, but I think if he met us, he'd go, oh, quite good, those guys.
Okay. Yeah,
a couple of different thinkers.
Yeah, you know, but you didn't go to the right schools and you're not... What
he sounds like a challenge.
Yeah. We can grind anyone down.
Yeah. Now, just tell me one thing to make me happy. Just tell me that neither of you voted for Brexit.
No.
Of course not.
No. Good.
Of course not.
It's a fucking disaster. Fucking disaster.
Yeah.
No, we're not part of the problem.
Hey?
Yeah.
We weren't part of the problem. Well. Sorry, got back onto
Calm
politics.
Down,
my old hoop went a bit loose. well, God, I could make myself look an idiot any moment. God, nearly got through an hour not making myself look like an absolute plonker. I do not want to fall at the last.
Yeah. No, you've done it.
No, you both done really well.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Campbell.
Thank you.
All right,
Mr.
listen,
Campbell.
Great to talk to you. And it's funny you treat me like this because I honestly thought you, both of you in Afterlife, absolute geniuses.
Oh, yeah. Bless you.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
We talk about you a lot, man, because especially you, because when we're up there at the post box, where the post box is by the house, we walk past there loads. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm happy to meet you there at any time.
Do you live near there?
No, but I will travel.
No, he'll travel.
maybe we could record the first Wiggo Klopp Davis episode around the post box.
Around the post box.
Around the red. Davis. The red.
Let's see if we can make it even more niche.
Yeah. All right, guys.
Cheers.
See you later.
Very much.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
Bye. Wow.
What a lovely man.
What a lovely man. He talked to us for 50 minutes.
Yeah. What an easygoing, lovely man. Oh.
I get it. I get what your wife gets.
Yeah, well, yeah. She's into him.
I am. He was clever, but he didn't make us feel stupid. That's a gift.
Wouldn't it be amazing to get someone on who's clever and makes us feel stupid?
I think I'd love to see us sweat. Of the world. Oh my God. I feel so vulnerable when I don't know about something. Oh God. Don't ask me. Don't ask me about anything. Don't ask me a direct question.
Oh dear. What a nice man.
Good fun.